Reading from Mark chapter 2, verse 24. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" That was Mark chapter 2, verse 24. Oh, listening friend, welcome to today's Monday edition of Mark and Friends. You're going to hear from Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church as he opens up the scriptures to Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, where Jesus and his disciples walk through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and a question arises about rules and religious expectations. In this passage, we discover something important about the heart of God. As Pastor Jason reminds us, rules without relationship can create rebellion, but rules with relationship lead to love, wholeness, and peace. Mark wrote his gospel so that we would believe in Jesus, and through stories like this, we see that Jesus is approachable and invites us into his presence. Listen now as Pastor Jason Epperson shares from God's Word.
See, the passage starts this way. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and they made their way. His disciples began to pluck heads of grain. So Jesus and the fellows and the ladies are walking down the road. As they're walking down the road, they see, man, if we cut through this field, it's going to shave off some time. I don't know about you. I'm all about shaving off time on a road trip. So they start making their way through this field. It's on the Sabbath day, and based on the Sabbath day, based on God's command of the Sabbath, which is a command. It's like a big deal. In creation, Sabbath is part of it, but the purpose was what? So that we would find rest in the midst of it. Literally, the Sabbath is Jesus, like when God created it, he stopped doing creation to rest, to do those things. And for us, he calls us to rest. We find our rest, spoiler alert, in Jesus. So they're making their way through, but what the religious leaders did is they put a bunch of rules around, like you can only walk this far, you can only do this, you can only do this, you can't carry a mat. If you do, you put it on your head. Like, I mean, just a bunch of craziness now. And so they're walking through, and this is what's happening. I want you on this side to picture this. They're walking through a grain field, and just imagine it, and they're literally grabbing the grain with their hands. It's like the moment in Gladiator when he's walking through the field. If you haven't seen the movie, you should on TNT. It's a little more PG-ish then. But you're walking through and they grab the grain in their hand. You with me? They're grabbing the grain in their hand. And this is what they're doing. They're putting the grain in their hand. They're putting it like this, and then they rub it together and then they eat it. In the Bible, it literally tells us in the Old Testament that that's okay. It tells you in the Bible, though, you can't grab a reaping stick and do harvest on it. So don't get out the combine, but guess what? If you're hungry, go grab a piece of corn, throw it in the cooler, preferably sweet corn. Put some butter, put some, you with me? It's coming, y'all. It's coming. It's a ways away. It's coming. But I just am trying to point out that Jesus didn't break a rule here. He didn't break God's command here. By doing these things, he broke their commands. I need to ask you a question. Sometimes I think in your life or in my life, we do it with our kids, and I think the intentions of it are good. It's like, in the Bible it says, don't do this. For instance, when I was growing up in high school and I was dating someone, my parents had a rule, hey, don't be alone with that girl in the basement. That was the rule. Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't be alone in the basement with the girl, but it does say you probably didn't do that in the basement with the girl. So they added rules to it to what me? Protect me. It wasn't that they were trying to harm me with those rules. But in your life and in my life, how many things around you have you put that are ruled? I'm not saying it's not bad to have boundaries. I'm not saying that. But those boundaries aren't God's commands. Those boundaries are to help keep you from disobeying God's commands. But sometimes all people hear is the boundaries. Ever feel like the weight of the boundaries is oppressive? But Jesus is trying to do what? Set you free. The crazy thing is when I do things that he doesn't want me to do, I don't find freedom. I find pain. I find guilt. I find chaos. I guess my question is, sometimes for us as Christians, if you've grown up in the church, the boundaries in your life are things you put around yourself. Now, I don't want to be offensive, but let's just be honest. Generally speaking, in the church, what we've done historically is we put the things around us that we can obey that make us feel better about who? Us. Well, I don't struggle with that. That's the one we should put there. And then all the ones that we do okay with, we like to talk about, and it makes us feel better about us. And then people that do those things can't get in. And Jesus is like, no. They can come in. And when they come in and have a relationship with me, I'll show them this is the way I've called them to live. It's very different. My first question for the day is this. Where do you and where do I find my comfort? Do you find your comfort in what you do? Or do you find your comfort in what you don't do? Because if your comfort or your safety comes from what you don't do, if you look around the world and see, at least I'm not like this, or you find your comfort in because I do this, that's not finding your comfort in the Sabbath. That's not finding your comfort in Jesus. That's finding your comfort in what you do or what you don't do. You tracking? So the first question today is, where do we find our comfort? Sometimes we can find our comfort in good things, but they might not be God's things. The passage then goes on and says these words, and the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? So they're basically accusing Jesus again of doing something that's not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And the first thing is, I need to point this out, is it was lawful for Jesus to do under God's law, but under their laws, under their extra boundaries, it was breaking their boundaries, but it wasn't breaking God's law. Do you guys know that in this time in history, within the Jewish faith, there was something really cool that God instilled in the Old Testament? It was this. Literally, there is in a field. So let's say it's a mile track. Like if you drive out in Champaign County, you're going to see roads. And they're going to be a road every mile, northeast. It's like a grid. It's like a checkerboard. If you haven't noticed it, fly sometime. And in the corners of these fields in Jewish history, a lot of you farmers are over here. Let's just talk for a second. In the corners of these fields, they wouldn't harvest the corners of their fields. And the reason they didn't harvest the corners of their fields was God's desire for people that didn't have fields, God's desire for people that didn't have money, God's desire for people that didn't have a job in that moment, they could still feed their families if they were willing to go to the corners of the fields and pick the crops. In some ways, it was like God's way of saying, this is how we're going to care for the poor. Now, you might think, well, why not just give them the corn? Why not just give them the wheat? Why not just give them this? Well, because God wanted dignity for the poor. Because if you take the ability to do something, to get something, it steals their dignity. Guess what the gospel gives you? Dignity. It gives you purpose. It gives you wholeness. And that's what's happening in this passage. It goes on and says these words. So the Pharisees are saying, look for why they're doing this, what is lawful on the Sabbath. Here's my next question. Jesus says it this way. Imagine walking with Jesus, hanging with Jesus. This is what you've just seen. He's healed a leper. Big deal. First time they ever saw it. Paralytic dude comes through a roof, never walked. Now he can walk. Sins are forgiven. Hearing about all this different teaching. Demon-possessed people. Water into wine. Like, they've seen all these incredible things. Just imagine that journey. And on that journey, some of us in this room are like super hyped. We're high-fiving Jesus. The other people in the room are saying this. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why are you doing this? Jesus would describe it this way, is sometimes as believers, we're looking at the sawdust in someone else's eyes and we have a log or a plank in our... My question to the Pharisees in this moment are the people that are asking him, like, is your perspective that crazy that like you just watched someone who was a leper be healed, who was a paralytic who be healed? You watched water into wine. You watched all these things. And you're concerned about a brother grabbing like some grain off in your life today. Maybe never more in my life, in 48 years, do I notice in culture, we love to critique other people's perspectives and other people's beliefs. I mean, it's just like, you with me? You don't have to nod your heads because then it's going to make you realize, yep. But you can nod your heads if you want to. But when you walk around in your life, seeing all the brokenness of things versus the beauty of things, life gets hard pretty fast. But Jesus in these moments, like I think that's one of his questions, like how are you so consumed with this moment when you just saw this moment? It's like preaching a sermon on grace. Hypothetical here. You preach a sermon on grace and then after the sermon, someone walks up to you and says, Jason, I don't think those pants really match that shirt. Oh, or you preach a sermon on grace and they say, you know, Jason, the tense that you used in your sermon on, like, honestly, Jason, have you ever thought about taking an English class? I did. I failed English. I didn't fail it. But why am I mentioning this? Is you hear a sermon on grace, on forgiveness, on offering someone not only forgiveness, but blessing on top of it. And you walk away from that sermon thinking, man, I wish someone else could have heard that. We heard a sermon this week on this, man. Listen to him. He's talking to you today. Why am I saying that? Because I need to hear it too sometimes. Are you with me? In my 20s, I say this to our staff. First off, the beauty of a younger generation, our church is so blessed by it. I mean, the amount of 18 to 30-year-olds in our church is like an enormous amount of people. One of our largest demographics that come on Sundays is that demographic. It's like so awesome. And their ability to see what's happening and what's real and speak truth and ask questions and have visions of what could be, like God has blessed them like crazy. But one thing that happened to me in my 20s that I also noticed with other 20-year-olds, they have a tendency to be really critical of everything that they haven't experienced yet. It's like when someone critiques a parent and they don't have kids yet, you just think, oh, I wouldn't have said that out loud. Because it's coming. And why do I say that is in your life and in my life. Now I want to speak to the older generation, which now I'm a part of. There's two options in your life. You're either going to get more humble and more grace filled, or you're going to get more arrogant and more rigid. You will not stay the same. Because in your 20s, you're going to think this is how it has to be. You're going to experience and realize, okay, I need grace just like everyone else did. And you're going to be more grace-filled in how you live your life. And that doesn't mean you're not going to seek truth and love truth, but you're going to offer grace and mercy in ways that you never thought. It's like when you're a kid and you go to a grandparent and you're telling them something you think they're going to be disappointed with, and the grandparent just grabs your hand and says, it's going to be okay. Do you know why? Because they've been through it. Hey, family, where do we find our comfort? And do we look for the best? Do we look for the beauty, or do we look for the baggage? Do we look for the brokenness? And he said to them, have you never read what David did? So this is Jesus' answer. He doesn't even defend it by saying, hey, guys, nowhere does it say that in God's word. He just says, I want to tell you about David. When he was in need and was hungry, he was, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God, and in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence. So the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. So this is what's happening. David has killed Goliath at this point. He's been anointed king. Saul finds out about it. Saul wants to kill him. Jonathan, David's best buddy, Jonathan is Saul's son, the one that's supposed to be king. Jonathan comes to David's like, bro, my dad's going to kill you. You got to get out. Like, he wants to chop you down. You got to get out of here. So what does he do? David then runs because he doesn't want to fight in that moment because he doesn't want to harm the king. It's pretty cool. As David runs, brother gets hungry. There's no food. He's running. He runs into this place. And when he comes into this place, there's this thing that God intended in the Old Testament. In like the Holy of Holy Places, there was this place called the Bread of the Presence. There was 12 loaves of bread that would be there that the priests would prepare. And on the Sabbath, they would eat. The 12 pieces of bread represented what? The 12 tribes of Israel. So these 12 pieces of bread, David comes in, he's hungry, and God tells David, it's like, it's okay for David to eat that bread. Why is it okay for David to eat that bread on the Sabbath, but no one else is supposed to? Because the mission of God is greater, is a trump card in these moments. You know, this is super cool, how smart God is. By the way, God's smart. You know that? He's like really smart, like wicked smart, not wicked, like really smart. But God is super smart. This is what's so cool. Isn't it awesome that he calls the bread of the presence? The 12 tribes, and then this bread was a representation of the presence of God. And then Jesus comes to this earth, and he's born into a town called Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is the giver of bread. That's what the town is. It's like the giver of bread. And Jesus came into this world, and he is our bread of life. That Jesus is now the sacrifice. Jesus is now the Sabbath. Like in Jesus, he makes us whole. Bread, wholeness. Light, wholeness. Water, wholeness. And that's what's happening in this passage. Like Jesus is the presence in your life and in my life. Our Sabbath is found in him. Our rest is found in him. It's not found in not walking across the room or not mowing the grass. My rest in this world is found in my Creator, in my Savior, in the Spirit of God. And this passage, this next part of the passage is going to speak right to it, and this is how it says it. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Do you guys ever feel like sometimes the rules overwhelm you and oppress you versus the rules were a gift to you? So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. I got just a random question. How many of you in your world right now, like in just American culture, how many think all of us could do with a little more rest? That rest might give us a little bit more perspective. That rest might give us a little more life. That rest might give us a little more, I don't know about you, but when I'm not rested, I'm a little crankier. But rest in my life helps me versus when I have no rest, I don't. You know what's crazy about God is literally every single I dare you to do this. Look at the commands of God. Look at the commands of Jesus. And I dare you to find one that doesn't bring more life and wholeness and fulfillment to the world. Amen. See, what he tells us is not to hold you back. It's not to oppress you. It's to set you free. Like in my life, I'm like preparing this message. Like as I started this message, like literally I said to Lacey on last Sunday afternoon, hey, next week I'm talking about this. And she just did this. She did that. She giggled at me. This is why. You know what I'm not great at? Resting. I don't slow very easily. But you know what God has taught me is that rest is a command that he gives so that I can be the best father, husband, pastor, leader, servant in this world. And without it, everything around me suffers. Here's how I rest. Here's how I Sabbath. Are you ready for it? I think for some people in this room, if in your world you take a day a week and you just spend that day resting in the presence of God, praise God. That's awesome. I'm not going to judge it. I think it's beautiful. For some of you in this room, your Sabbath, your rest might be more like mine. My Sabbath and rest, one of my Sabbath and rest moments is early in the morning. I make an ice cold drink. I put some amino acids in it because I think it's going to make me look better. It's working. But I take it every single morning. I take my vitamins with it. I sit there. I talk to Jesus. I walk with Jesus. Right now, I can't sit at a table and look down because my neck's all messed up. That's why I have to use this thing now. So I literally walk laps in my kitchen as I talk to Jesus. Or I go outside and listen to his word on my phone. But I, in that moment, hear me say, I'm Sabbathing. I'm resting. Like, that's what I'm trying to say is just being with God to be with God. I've got no agenda. I'm just in his presence. And then another time in my life that happens is every Monday morning at 9 a.m. with our staff, we sit in a room and the purpose of from 9 to 10 a.m. every single Monday morning is we do this. We rest with God. We're in the presence of God. There's no agenda. There's like, hey, here's our 12 things we're praying for. No. Holy Spirit, move in us. And when I am in his presence, when I'm in the Lord's presence, something inside of me changes. I find clarity. I find purpose. I find grace. I find mercy. Another time that I Sabbath is Tuesday noon at prayer time that all of you are invited to at Weber Street. I'm just in his presence. It's Wednesday late night prayers. It's Sunday mornings during worship. I don't have any agenda in the moment except for, God, I just want to be in your what? Why is it such a big deal for us to be in the presence of God? Here's the lesson. Are you ready? When God created the heavens and the earth, he does creation. He does hills. He does rivers. He does oceans. He does light. He does darkness. Bam! It's happened. And then all of a sudden, he looks at animals, and he creates animals. And he doesn't create one animal of each kind, does he? He creates how many? He creates a lion and a what? A lioness. And then all of a sudden, he creates Adam, God's counterpart. And then out of Adam, he creates Eve. Because Adam needed an Eve, a lion needed a lioness. But the purpose of creating humanity in this moment, I do not want you to miss this, was God desired someone to be the object of his affection. Man, I was created to be the object of affection of the creator of the universe. In most of my life, I have settled for counterfeit affection. And my Father in heaven, like that's why we're called the bride of Christ. We are his counterpart. We are not God, but we are created in his what? His image. Because he wants to pour that affection out. And here's the cool thing. The only thing we can give God back is our affection. You can't give him perfection. We stink at it. But man, I can give him a hallelujah. Hey, family, if you and I in our life will become who we're created to be, you're actually going to experience peace and wholeness and joy and love and mercy and grace. But that is found in the presence of God. Now this presence, the more I get used to being in his presence can be with me when I preach. His presence is with me when I work. His presence is with me on a field. But we were created to be in his presence. That's why there's something about being in his presence that does what? Sets us free. It's crazy to me how we've... Like the thing I enjoy the most with my kids is just being with them. Yesterday I'm like sitting in this side room and I hear my youngest say to my wife, out of the blue, like to hear Zeke just say to my wife, she's working in the kitchen on making something for a play that's happening. So she's making tons of hamburger, like walking tacos or something like this. And Zeke's sitting there working on some school on an iPad at the table that I get up early in the morning and sit at. And Zeke, I just hear out of the blue say these words, Mom, I love you. And I just thought, that's what we want to hear. Father, I love you. And I get to experience him when I have no agenda except for Sabbathing with him. Rules, this is why we've struggled. Rules without a relationship is rebellion. The reason why most of us have rebelled against God is because we don't have a relation, like a real relationship with him. Rules with relationship, you find peace. You find wholeness. You find his presence.
Amen and amen. As Pastor Jason reminds us, rules without relationship can create rebellion, but rules with relationship lead to love, wholeness, and peace. Oh, listening friend, thank you for joining me for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. As we heard in Mark chapter 2, Jesus reminds us that the Sabbath was made for our good and that he is Lord of the Sabbath. The invitation of Christ is not about simply following rules, but about entering into a relationship with him where we find true rest and peace. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.